Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing some great video game music and talking about some of the crazy and fun games that populate our world. Hope you enjoy and have a listen. So one thing about, like, being an Irish guy reporting on the games industry is that you don't often come across Irish games. And in fact, if you do come across an Irish game, there's no guarantee it is actually going to have anything to do with being actually Irish. This happens kind of a bit. Now, there was actually one game recently called Coup the Shroud of Morgan, which I haven't quite played yet. So that was made by Irish game developers. It dealt with Irish themes. But like I said, there's a lot of games out there, and even ones developed by Irish people don't tend to be, you know, kind of Irish. Until I came across a random game on the internet the other day, and it turned out, yes, it had a very kind of strong Irish team. And that's not surprising, because one of the developers was Terry Kavanagh, an Irish indie game developer who's been very popular with a lot of games such as Super Hexagon, which is considered an achievement if you can play more than 15 seconds of it, and also, other, of course, VVVVV, or aka the letter V six times, which is kind of like a funny, kind of like, almost a tribute to C64, Commodore 64 platformer games with retro graphics, but just fun, energetic, and nice gameplay mechanics, where instead of jumping, you just reverse the gravity. And you can't reverse gravity while you're in midair, so generally you have to reverse gravity and hope that you don't end up embedding yourself on spikes in the roof. Those are good games, but neither of them are particularly Irish. So I was surprised when I came across the site of Increpair. It was recommended by someone who felt that Increpair wasn't getting enough attention from a lot of indie game press, though I do hear that it was reported in the New Yorker. And basically, Increpair is aka Stephen Lavelle, or Stephen Lavelle aka Increpair, or Stephen quotes Increpair Lavelle, however you want to put it, is essentially a guy who's developed, from what I can tell, a lot of games and experimental games and games that try this and games that do that, and puts them all up on his website free to play. I think a lot of them are short. I haven't played enough of them to get a good feel of it, but it seems like each one he's trying to do something different, and that's the sort of creativity that's fun and energetic in a lot of things. So this was, he's UK based, and since the UK is where Terry Kavanagh is at the moment, that's probably how they met up, and they collaborated on this game, and it is this game called Ihawa. And yes, I think all the Irish people in the audience know it's Ihawa, spelt O-I-F-A-U-T-H-E space M-H-A-I-T-H. And it's in the comments from one website, it says that it translates as, I do not understand what this means. But to all us Irish-speaking audience, we know that it translates to good night. Ihawa, anawa. Now, chiapim niel on clihiro iantuk ach ismahlame. And that's kind of what I like about it. It's an interesting game. It's kind of dark, and it has what I would definitely describe as adult themes. I mean, you play basically as a young girl, and you start as you're returning to your house, and basically your mum starts by just saying she is worried about you, but quickly turns out that she seems to be frantically guilt-tripping you and making you feel terrible for even existing. You go to the house, and basically in the whole little routine of setting up everything and, like, getting the dinner ready, it seems that it's more than a little dysfunctional. The whole game is portrayed using very kind of like retro graphics, something you'd see on the NES or Super Nintendo, kind of a little like Zelda, because it's top down, but with just, yeah, even with that sort of low resolution, you still kind of get a creepy sense of what the whole thing is about. And a lot of the game is kind of like, follow this routine, follow this path, and there's a bit thing at the end which is more of a puzzle, but it's really trying to give this dark atmosphere and just deal with a couple of themes involving what it's like to be in a family that maybe shouldn't be the best sort of family for you, but also a bit about how the main character is so caught up in her family, she doesn't even realize what it's like, and it's like it's what she wants, even though any bystander would look on and say, this is terrible, how can you have parents that treat you like this, but that's kind of like what she knows and what she's familiar with, and that's kind of one of the themes of the game. It's relatively short, though slightly longer than I was expecting. There's a moment where the screen goes black and I was wondering, was that it? But no, there's a big section after that. But it's honestly, I think I like it for its experiment, and I like the fact that it's kind of like, it kind of really indulges in the whole Irish thing, you know, the when you're speaking to your mum, it's like, you know, the name is like Mammy, and of course the girl's name is Emer, and then of course there's a whole lot of, like, you know, the Irish sort of slang, you know, I'm after doing this and all this sort of stuff. So I really like that sort of stuff, because, you know, I think so much of us, like, play American games or or watch American movies and stuff, so we don't kind of lose track of some of our own, like, idiosyncratic ways of speaking and everything. And I think it's a game that kind of goes into that and just has a bit more personality than normal, to the point of, you know, even having a title totally in Irish. The game's music was composed largely by Stephen Lavelle in Crepere, and the music, I'm just going to play a bit of an excerpt from it now. It's from the title of the game. I hope you enjoy. And, yeah, as you can see, it's got a bit of a kind of an unsettling atmosphere to it. But have a listen. Okay, just hold on a second. Apparently, I couldn't actually get a MP3 rip of the game's music, so I decided to load the Flash and didn't estimate that it's loading now. That's something I should notice about Flash games, actually, the loading screen. I am thankful that, you know, after years I finally did get a good internet connection, so normally the loading bar goes across very quickly. But I remember when I was first getting into Flash games, you'd start up the loading and, boy, some of them wouldn't even have a loading bar. You wouldn't know how much is left. You know, when is it going to get ready? Should I, like, browse other sites and other tabs? And even then, tabs were kind of a new thing, so usually it was other browser windows, or do I just walk around? But yep, the old loading bar, it's just waiting as you just hope that your computer is connecting to some great machine somewhere else on the, possibly on another continent, and desperately, and probably another island, given the fact that we're in Ireland right now, and desperately trying to get every sort of, like, bytes and every detail, and then sometimes it might go a little slower, sometimes it might go a little fast, and you'd be wanting, and then basically what you should be doing is looking at something else. I mean, I said to someone once, staring at progress bars is soul-destroying. So, yeah. But no, not to say that this Flash games are soul-destroying. I mean, they have to get it to you. But, I mean, that was one of the whole benefits of Flash games. You can just immediately play them on the internet and you don't have to, like, download the whole thing and install them. Okay, I think we're just about to play music from Iowa. Have a listen. So, as you can see, a kind of unnerving and kind of almost jagged edge to that track, and it kind of sets the unsettled atmosphere of the video game very, very well. So, as I said, that game and the music was by Increpair, and the game itself was made by Terry Cavanagh and Stephen Lavelle, aka Increpair. If you go to increpair.com, increpair.com, you'll be able to see not only this game, but a lot of other of his works. Or if you just Google Iamah, OICHEMHAITH, you should be able to find it both on Stephen Lavelle's website and also Newgrounds. Newgrounds, which, yeah, talking about the old school days, that's one thing that's still around. Newgrounds, and in fact, they've even improved quite a bit. Alright, so moving around from a depressing and independent game to a crazy and psychedelic independent game, I am moving on to none other than Goat Simulator. Developed by Coffee Stain Studios, it was almost both a parody of Tony Hawk-style stunt games where you go around at a skateboard and perform tricks, and also the fact that, especially on the PC platform, i.e., you know, Steam and digital downloads, simulator games are very, very popular, such as Farm Simulator, Bus Simulator, you know, Airport Simulator, and a lot of other kind of serious Train and other simulator titles. Of course, what seems to have happened is that a lot of people have other taken parody. I told you about Surgery Simulator 2013 a while back, which of course wasn't quite the simulator, considering the fact that you could transplant a heart just by cutting out the old heart and just dumping the new heart right into the Caparis. So Coffee Stain had their own sense of parodying the simulator genre, although in this case a completely different game. You basically control a goat. The goat causes mayhem. It's ostensibly about performing tricks like doing backflips. Yes, I know, backflipping a goat. Or doing wall runs and wall jumps. Yes, a goat can apparently perform parkour. And then headbutting things and headbutting people and then walking onto like a treadmill and going flying back. And then going into gas stations and blowing yourself. There's basically a lot of goat-related shenanigans and crazy stuff that you can actually do in this game. So, with that said, when they released this game and basically made a lot of trailer, it just got a lot of people hyped up. And basically, Goat Simulator is something that a lot of games don't have, and it's just fun, chaos, and completely nonsensical. There's no gameplay, there's no real objectives, you just kind of mess around, and that actually does turn people off. I mean, they play it and they're not quite sure what to do. But if you mess around, you find out there's a lot of different diversions. One of the interesting things that they've decided to do is say, by the way, we've been fixing a lot of bugs in the game, but we've decided to leave all the actual bugs that don't crash the game in and only fix ones that do crash the game. Just to give you a bit of a sense, if you walk a goat up a ladder, the goat stays perfectly level and the goat just completely ascends, and meanwhile the head constantly gets caught in the ladder rungs. You can still run up at full speed, but your head will just jangle back and forth in a completely unholy abomination. And it's this sort of humor that the game is like. Things constantly glitch. People start walking and then suddenly jump up and down in a physics glitch. Everything is simulated, but as you're walking, running around, causing chaos, headbutting people into cars, getting hit by cars yourself, finding gigantic boulders, rolling the boulders into these parties, finding these water slides, sliding down the slides, going off a ramp, hitting a trampoline at the bottom of this of an empty swimming pool, bouncing up, then climbing a crane, shooting out your tongue, licking, getting caught on a basic guy who's paragliding around, and then start sailing around, singing around rapidly. This is even before you end up dealing with some weird UFO stuff. Then go into a seaside resort, getting into a roller coaster, then trying to get ending up having things dismount you, then finding you're well in the river, seeing a sewer opening, then try to go into the sewer opening and find four people dressed as turtles with Michael Bay turtles, in, as they are described. That's another thing. If you every single character in the game seems to actually have a name. So if you headbutt a human being that's walking around, it says headbutted Carl or headbutted, and some of the names are basically what would happen if you mashed a keyboard. The whole game is kind of an insane, kind of crazy thing where the environment is vibrant. There's a lot of fun stuff to do, but it's also about just taking the piss and just kind of having a fun system where there's a lot of minor objectives, there's a lot of like think goals you can store, but basically it's about going around causing chaos, having fun, and doing it all under the pretense of actually simulating anything that even remotely exists in real life. It's a lot of fun, and had the pleasure of playing it with a cousin of mine who dropped in, and then we managed to get we managed to play two goats at the same time, and we had fun like grabbing people and dragging them to sacrifice them. Oh, your goat can often gain powers as well, and then which gives you satanic powers that allow you to defeat things. But if you don't do well, you manage to get angelic powers, which is also good. So, I mean, sometimes you get a little tired, you're just thinking, oh, it's a goat just walking around this open thing. But then if you keep going, you might find another little secret or another little hidden place or another little niche. You know, for instance, maybe you walked around this field a lot and there's this building you pass by. And, you know, for once you try to go into the building and suddenly you discover, oh, wait a sec, this building houses the actual developers who are developing this game, allowing you the chance to walk around and mess up Coffee Stain Studios and other headbutt all the developers and kick all the developers involved, especially, or lick them and just drag them out of their place, or go up to the top floor and start playing Flappy Goat, which is apparently their parody of Flappy Bird. So you are playing a goat simulator, and in the goat simulator you manage to end up playing a Flappy Bird clone. You're playing a game inside of a game. Not the first time that's happened, but still kind of funny and kind of crazy. What's more is it happened to be linked with my Steam friends list, so I could see that one of the guys I knew managed to score an insanely high score on that game. So I tried to beat him, but gave up. Kind of like, yeah, Flappy Bird itself. So, it's like I said, Goat Simulator, it's available on Steam, digital download. It's Mac, Linux, and PC. Apparently there's an Xbox One version coming out, because really to tax that system, and I think I'll just give you some of the music in this game. So, have a listen. And that was the main theme from Goat Simulator. I don't know who composed it because the Coffee Stain Studios decided to do a valve, and instead of doing a breakdown of which developer of Coffee Stain Studios did each part of the thing, they just got all the members of Coffee Studios in one great big list. Not so I have no clue which one of them's contributed to the music of this game. And yeah, that's kind of what Valve does as well, but I mean, it's easier to work out with him because, you know, they publish the tracks and everything. Oh, and by the way, apparently Deadmau5, you know, he had something to do with it, and indeed he does get reference in the thing. You're even able to get dead goats sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know what part he played in this. For our last track, I've decided to play something from Sonic Colors. Now, I talked about this in the Sonic Generations, in, you know, a Sonic special podcast. And I mean, I like Sonic Colors because it's a fun game. It's still one of my favorite Sonic games because it's just energetic, fun, colorful. And it's just, the cutscenes are kind of humorous. And, you know, there's Sonic and Tails are friends, and it's got a bright, colorful atmosphere. And it's bereft of a lot of the really crazy sort of twisted plot lines that can crop up in Sonic games, Sonic 06 being a prime example. A while back I was listening, and apparently there was this whole like Sonic marathon streaming things. Basically a bunch of people were streaming through pretty much every Sonic game that was ever created for charity. It was a great effort, and indeed they did Sonic Colors. It was kind of funny to see like two screens of the speedrunners almost synced at certain times as they were both pulling the same moves and getting the same speed. It was pretty fun, and it was pretty enjoyable. And of course, even at the end, they while they were waiting for when the speedrunners to finish, one of them just decided to play the credits. Because Sonic Colors is one of those kind of funny games where essentially the credits is its own kind of music level. It's kind of funny, but essentially you play the credits, the words get by, and you can play a Sonic jumping on top of all the credits letters and then grab special powers and like completely destroy all the letters, although you can still kind of read them. And basically, it's a lot of fun. And Sonic Colors in general is a lot of fun, and I like the ending theme. So, I think in my Sonic Generations thing, I played the first track that you hear in the game, you know, Reach for the Stars. And here you're going to hear Speak With Your Heart. It is the ending theme. It was made by Alex Makaloff and Jean-Paul Markaloff, who are of the band Cash, and it is from Sonic Colors, developed by Sonic Team. So, this has been David Collins with BitNote. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some great tunes and talking about some very fun games and listening to some cool songs. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Catch you next time.
Finally, we can relate. Now we're side by side, this is fate. I knew all along we'd find some way to communicate. with your heart.